This is Kenneth Gaust, and welcome to installment number 96 of New World Notes. This installment is titled, Varieties of Sexual Experience, or Goldberg's Other Variations. And in that title, if you picked up the reference to both William James and Johann Sebastian Bach, boy, are you good. This series has now been on the air for about 2 years. I didn't plan it this way, but it came to pass that each installment has been built on a single unifying theme. Early on, I decided to devote one show each year to the subject of sex and sexuality. Well, it's been 21 months since my only installment on that topic. That one I titled, American Sex and Sexuality, The Sorrow and the Pity. Actually, today's show is more of a potpourri than the recent show that was titled Potpourri. I have no particular point to make, for a change, apart from my usual make love, not war. Today's items, though, are all about deviations from the norm. Stuff that drove Mrs. Goldberg nuts. Homosexuality, pornography, or more precisely, anti-pornography crackpots. How to react when your 16-year-old daughter loses her virginity. And singer Leonard Cohen's continuing difficulties in telling the difference between his girlfriend cheating on him and the collapse of Western civilization. Let's start out with a brief look at gay people and American attitudes concerning them, as explained by a certified middle-aged, straight, married Catholic guy from Boston, comedian Jimmy Tingle.
I'm pumped up about the future and about the hope, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the whole gay rights movement in this country. You know, 15 years ago, nobody was arguing about whether gays or lesbians could get married. They were arguing about whether or not they could be in the military. You remember that? You know, all these pundits saying, oh, we can't let the gays in the military. What if we're attacked? And our boys are in the shower. And the gays won't let them out. You know? It always came down to the shower. It was always about, what about the showers? What about the showers? As if gays and lesbians were saying, geez, I haven't showered in months. Have you thought about the Marines? You know, of course, now they need more troops for the Middle East and for Afghanistan. I predict the same pundits are going to be sitting around going, we need more troops for the Middle East. Where are we going to get them? What about the gays? The gays, yeah, what about the gays? These people love to travel. What about the gays? I mean, they're all dying to get married. Shouldn't I learn how to fight first? I mean, for me, basically a straight white male, to be a huge advocate and supporter of gay marriage is a huge cultural shift in the country. That's what I'm saying. Anybody else grow up homophobic, afraid of gay people? One guy? Two honest people, the whole damn place. Look at that. I admit it. At least you admit it, sir. Thank you. We admit it. I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood. You could be considered gay for anything. The slightest deviation from the norm. You got a haircut. What are you, gay? You didn't get a haircut. What are you, gay? There's a guy in the liquor store wearing sandals. He's obviously a homosexual. I mean, my idea of gays growing up is that they were out there. Hiding. In the bushes. Waiting for me to walk by, they were going to jump out and have sex with me. I swear to God. And as I got older, I actually got to know and become friends with quite a few gay folks. They assured me, Jim, the last thing I want to do is hide in the bushes and wait for you to walk by. When you think about the fact that gays and lesbians can legally be married in Massachusetts, that's a huge accomplishment for civil rights and human rights in this country and around the world. That's huge. That's huge. There's places in this country saying, if you allow the gays to get married, that could threaten conventional marriage. Really? How? How is it possibly going to threaten my marriage? I've been happily married for 12 years. What, am I going to walk out of here tonight and go, you know, I've had 12 blissful years with my lovely wife, Catherine, but what about Chuck? What's Chuck doing later? So a single administration will bring people together. If rival corporations can merge for their own mutual benefit, why can't the pro-life forces and the pro-choice forces merge for their own mutual benefit? I would suggest that Planned Parenthood merge with the Catholic Church to create the largest reproductive rights / adoption center in the world. Planned Catholics of the Hood. And focus on what we have in common.
Today, gay marriage is threatening the very fabric of our law-abiding Christian society, according to numerous loud and angry right-wing so-called Christians. Back in the good old days, before the threat of gay marriage loomed on the horizon, a graver threat threatened the very fibers of our civilization. No, not polyester. Girly magazines, and worse. I have a 30-minute film from around 1960 on this very threat, and I'll play about 9 minutes of it for you. It was produced by an outfit in Cincinnati called, at the time, the Citizens for Decent Literature. This became the most powerful anti-smut organization in the country. The speaker is an announcer hired for the occasion, but the words are pure Charles Keating, the head of CDL. Like Jimmy Tingle, Keating was a good Catholic boy, though he sure lacked Tingle's broad-mindedness and good humor. All that guff you will hear about smut being a tool of the international communist conspiracy to destroy America, that's pure Keating. Later, this defender of God, modestly dressed mom, and apple pie became a noted financial swindler who cost his fellow upright Christian Americans about $3 billion, bailing out a few of the financial institutions he bankrupted in moves of highly dubious legality. You've heard of the Keating Five? That was a quintet of U.S. senators Keating allegedly bribed to ensure that much good and no harm came drifting his way. One of the Keating Five ran for president in 2008. I won't mention the gentleman's name, but his surname does mean son of Cain. Birds of a feather. Obviously, financial swindling and grand larcening could never be a real threat to America. But insidious, communist-inspired, exposed female breasts at your newsstand, drugstore, even malt shop. Yep, they say malt shop. That's a threat. Let's listen.
Hello there. I'm George Putnam. I'd like to begin with a fact. A simple yet shocking fact. It is this. A flood tide of filth is engulfing our country in the form of newsstand obscenity and is threatening to pervert an entire generation of our American children. We know that once a person is perverted, it is practically impossible for that person to adjust to normal attitudes in regard to sex. Yet much of this material has been described as an illustrated, detailed course in perversion, abnormal sex, crime, and violence. It is also a fact that no matter who buys this material, 75 to 90% of it ends up in the hands of our children. Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity, the teachers of unnatural sex acts, had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth. High-speed presses, rapid transportation, mass distribution, all have combined to put the vilest obscenity within reach of every man, woman, and child in the country. In the past few years, this obscenity traffic and salacious newsstand literature have become increasingly worse, not only in content, but in volume. This traffic continues to increase and flourish for one reason. It is big business, profitable business, for the mercenary persons who produce it, and for its more than 800 distributors. Through this material, today's youth can be stimulated to sexual activity for which he has no legitimate outlet. He is even enticed to enter the world of homosexuals, lesbians, sadists, masochists, and other sex deviants. The psychiatric terms for these unnatural sex acts are unknown to most decent adults in our country. But through this salacious material, these abnormalities are corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children. Perversion for profit. Here is the most vicious, the most insidious feature of these publications. They constantly portray abnormal sexual behavior as being normal. They glorify unnatural sex acts. They tell youngsters that it's smart, it's thrilling, it provides kicks to be a homosexual, a sadist, and every other kind of deviant. This moral decay weakens our resistance to the onslaught of the communist masters of deceit. A major factor that makes youngsters prime targets for this printed filth is the natural curiosity of youth about the mysterious force of sex. Yet, on virtually every newsstand is a welter of misinformation which can wreck them for life. Well, at this point, my friends, I wish to make it clear that the obscenity I'm talking about and the examples that I'm about to show you were not bought on the sly from under the counter. They were not purchased on Skid Row or on the other side of the tracks. They can be bought openly by anyone in drugstores, groceries, delicatessens, terminals, malt shops, cigar stores, newsstands, all over the community. They can be purchased by children, whether in a small town like McAllen and the Rio Grande, or in Chicago, New York, or Los Angeles. A prime example of one major category are the so-called girly magazines, which sell over 15 million copies a month. These highly colorful magazines picture stark nudity on slick paper. They often present their subject on bed or couch, in positions indicative of intercourse or other sex act, obviously calculated to stimulate the reader. The nakedness, the nudity of these magazines is defended and foisted upon the people by a vociferous minority in our society. They lack the moral standards and values of our Judeo-Christian heritage. They not only oppose the principles of that heritage, which has given us our rich institutions and laws, but they advocate their overthrow. These magazines not only display complete nudity, but they do so in a perverted manner. Such is this appeal to the sodomist. Such is these shots, which are typical of the preoccupation with the female breast, to a point that it has become a fetish. And this one, with its overtones of bestiality, and with lesbian implications. As I said before, the most insidious feature of these publications is that they glorify crime and ridicule law and authority. Vice is presented as fun. This warped idea of fun has contributed to the fact that one out of every 20 children born in the United States last year was illegitimate. The rate of illegitimacy has been steadily climbing. And the care of these children costs taxpayers $1 billion a year in government aid. This does not take into account the human misery or suffering that cannot be measured in dollars and cents. What these publications promote as fun has helped to increase the spread of venereal disease in this country. Reported syphilis has increased more than 300% in the last 5 years. The incidence of gonorrhea has been steadily rising. One segment of the increase occurs among the expanding homosexual population. But even more startling is the fact that the greatest increase in venereal disease is among children 10 to 18 years of age. the increasing crime rate also parallels the increase in obscenity. A vicious crime of violence, murder, forcible rape, or assault to kill is being committed every 3 minutes. The total cost of crime in human waste, misery, tax, and material loss is beyond calculation. Sex mad magazines are helping to create criminals faster than we can build jails to house them. This $2 billion a year racket is challenging every mother and father in this country and everyone interested in the welfare of our children. So you can see from what I have told you and shown you today that a moral decay is spreading through our country and our society. This same type of rot and decay caused 16 of the 19 major civilizations to vanish from the earth. Magnificent Egypt, classical Greece, imperial Rome, all crumbled away, not because of the strength of the aggressor, but because of moral decay from within. And in this day especially, we must seek to deliver ourselves from this twisting, torturing evil. We must save our nation from decay and deliver our children from the horrors of perversion. We must make our land, the land of the free, a safe home. Oh God, deliver us, Americans, from evil.
Now I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm going to be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They were trying out Bevo, trying out Cubex, trying out TaylorMade's like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're going to cover up a telltale breath with sense. And one fine night, they leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the Armory. Libertine men and scarlet women and ragtime, shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, to the arms of a jungle, animal instinct, masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh, we got trouble!
Right here. In River City, with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. We've surely got trouble.
We sure got trouble
right here in River City. Got to figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school.
Our children gonna have trouble.
Mothers of River City,
trouble.
Heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha! And so's your old man. But if so, my friends, you got trouble.
Oh, we got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here in River City.
With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
That stands for pool.
We've surely got trouble.
We surely got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here.
Remember the Maine, Plymouth Rock, and the Golden Rule.
Our children gonna have trouble.
Oh, we got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls is a devil's tool.
Devil's tool.
Oh, yes, we got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yes, we got trouble. Here we got trouble.
With a T.
With a capital T.
Gotta rhyme it with P. And it stands for pool.
Sure, by now that song is a cliche, but I remain amazed at Robert Preston's vocal virtuosity in that recitative from The Music Man. Try this at home, kids, and see if you do it as well. The song Trouble pokes gentle fun at the sort of hysteria the Citizens for Decent Literature got into, and of course the anti-gay marriage crowd is getting into today. I love that 16 of the 19 major civilizations vanished from the rot within. What were the 19 major civilizations? Who knows? Who's to say the number is 19 and not 11? I heard a better theory of why the Roman Empire fell. It wasn't the dirty pictures on the walls at Pompeii or the exposed female breasts on all those classical statues? It was lead poisoning from the water pipes. Why is the symbol for lead PB? And why are people who install water pipes called plumbers? Let's not forget that old carpenter's tool, the plumb bob. Plumbum, the Latin word for lead. All their pipes were made of lead. That's what did them in, the theory goes, not the naked statues. We'll hear more about the collapse of civilization in a minute from, of course, a Canadian, Leonard Cohen. But first, how about a note of optimism? What's the best way to react when your 16-year-old daughter informs you that she is no longer a virgin? Editor and satirist Paul Krasner doesn't know either, but his tale of how both of them did react strikes me as very, very sweet. This is from an interview published in 2008. The daughter is Holly. Jean is Krasner's ex-wife and Holly's mother. When Holly was 10, on one of my trips to New York, I took her and Jean out for dinner. "Mommy told me all about sex," she confided in the restaurant. "Oh, really? What did you learn?" "Oh, she told me about orgasms and blowjobs." I blushed. They laughed. One evening, when she was 16, Holly called me. "Hold on a second," she said, then held her phone to the speaker of her stereo, and I heard Carly Simon singing, "Daddy, I'm no virgin, and I've already waited too long." Then Holly hung up quickly. I began to laugh and cry simultaneously. I was laughing at the creative way she had chosen to share this news. My generation had avoided communicating with parents about sex altogether, and I guess maybe I was crying because I never got any when I was 16. The sexual revolution had still been just a horny dream back then. Now, I was delighted to see its legacy in action, yet I also felt a certain vestigial resentment. "Why, these young kids today, they just don't appreciate the joy of yearning." I had to be careful not to let the memory of my own blue balls turn into sour grapes. When Holly visited me for the Thanksgiving holidays that year, I teased her. "Did you bring your diaphragm?" "Oh, Daddy," she responded, "even if I fall in love with someone, that doesn't mean we have to go to bed right away." She had found her own place on the spectrum between abstinence and promiscuity. Let's end with a song. Leonard Cohen correctly notes that Western civilization is collapsing. He also notes that his girlfriend is sexually unfaithful to him. What's interesting about Cohen is that he sees each event as symbolizing the other. So let's end our show about sexual variations with a song about cuckoldry and not taking it at all gracefully. Paul Krasner on his teenage daughter's introduction to sex. Now that's grace. Ciao.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich, that's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling. Their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. everybody knows that's how it goes. Everybody knows, and everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you, and everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you've done a line or two, everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows, and everybody knows. Everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through, from the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows, that's how it goes.